Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
It's been 2 years.
Happy anniversary.
Me and you, just us two.
We made a deal ages ago. Man, babies, doesn't matter. We're soulmates.
Like Jasmine and Aladdin?
Yes, sweetie, but with cocktails.
That's a little bit of the trailer from Sex and the City 2, a movie that I probably will not go to see. I'll be quite honest with you. It is a TV series that was amazingly popular with young women and old women. And of course, this is the second movie of the same name, same themes. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to start this hour talking with Colleen Carol Campbell about the perpetual adolescence that is almost personified in the characters of Sex and the City versus the hidden joys of getting a little bit older. Then, in about 10 minutes, we'll discuss the moral and spiritual themes of Pixar films, More My Flavor. Robert Velarde will be our guest. It's Thursday afternoon, June the 3rd. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Colleen Carol Campbell is a regular guest. She's host of a television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Colleen, what's the fiction of the Sex and the City 2 movie?
Well, I think there are a number of lies that Sex and the City peddles, but the one that I concentrated on in my column this week was the idea that sex appeal, perfect health, perfect physiques, have no expiration date, and that as long as we work hard enough to stay young, we can be young indefinitely, and we can find our happiness in those things.
So why do you think that Sex and the City 2 hasn't done so well at the box office?
Well, in some ways it's puzzling because the show itself was on TV for 12 years, has been running that long, and frankly, a lot of us grew tired of it a long time ago. A lot of us were never fans to begin with, but the first Sex and the City movie tried to perpetuate the popularity of the TV series by showing these four women who started out as 30-somethings in Manhattan, very much focused on shoe shopping and talking about their sexual exploits, and here they are entering middle age, and it began to grow a little bit tiresome. Now in the sequel, these same four women are still making the same body jokes and same focus on shoe shopping and all the rest, except now they're pushing 40, their late 40s and pushing 50, and the most promiscuous character among them, Samantha Jones, is in her 50s, and the subplot that revolves around her in the sequel is her trying to stave off menopause with vitamins. So all of this is set against this backdrop where basically their concerns and focus in life is the same as it was 12 years ago when the series debuted. 12 years ago, it was a little more believable that this is what younger women would be focused on. But now, I think it's worn thin with audiences, and I think it's about time, frankly.
Why does this type of fiction sell?
Well, I think it sells because deep down, most of us are pretty fearful of growing old, of losing our health, losing our looks, losing our ability to earn money, to be productive, to stay busy, to be important. And I think aging, to many of us, represents loss, and we don't tend to see a positive side whatsoever. And so the idea that we could watch these four women cruise through their 30s, their 40s, and now their 50s, still behaving basically like adolescents, I think it appeals to something within many Americans, and including many American women, that you can be young forever, and that as long as you decide that you're going to stay young, that you can continue to look young and act young, even well past the date where if you behave the way they do in real life, I think you'd be rather pathetic rather than popular and interesting.
Now, Colleen, I know you. You look like you could be one of the main characters in Sex and the City. Why doesn't the series and why don't the movies appeal to you?
Well, I think the materialism is one reason that the show is pretty offensive. You know, one reason that it has drawn a lot of viewers, I think, is its fans say, well, this is about a friendship between four women, an enduring friendship that survives all of their other ups and downs. That aspect of the show, I suppose, is laudable, but I think it's been lost over the years. I think, frankly, it was lost from the beginning because there was so much of a fixation on how you look, what you're wearing, and what you buy. So much of the series has always been about acquiring things. And in a sense, men are considered just another possession to acquire, and then it becomes children, and then it becomes the penthouse apartment. Whatever is the latest object of lust, it sort of all comes down to this materialistic mindset of life is about amassing the most stuff, and whoever dies with the most stuff wins. And I think the fact that this is peddled as what American women want and what American women are all about is frankly rather offensive to me as a woman.
Even though we are talking about fiction, what do you think the girls from Sex and the City could learn from recent studies about age and happiness?
Well, it's been very interesting. We haven't seen a lot of press on these studies, though there have been a story here or there, New York Times one, another was featured in the Washington Post. But scientists have been studying surveys of people as they age and finding, interestingly enough, a pretty consistent trend of people growing happier, reporting higher rates of well-being and overall happiness as they age. And it's a very interesting thing because, of course, we're always told in our youth-obsessed society that, you know, hold on to 16, it's the best you're ever going to have it. Well, actually, it's been pretty interesting. There was a new study published just last month in the Proceedings of the National Academy of the Sciences, looked at Gallup poll data to show that people actually were happier at 85 with themselves than they had been at 18, and that people in their mid to late 50s were pretty consistently happier and less stressed than those in their 20s. There was another study in 2008 printed in the American Sociological Review. It was a University of Chicago sociologist looked at the General Society Survey, which the GSS is pretty much gold standard in terms of surveying people's opinions, and she found, this researcher was a sociologist by the name of Yang Yang, she found that despite all of the things that we associate with aging in terms of losses and frailty, poor health, and all the rest, older adults tended to report pretty high levels of well-being, and it happened across gender and racial lines, which was not always the case with younger adults. And her conclusion from studying reams of data was actually that you tend to grow happier as you grow older. And the curve really, I think, from most of the studies, what they show is the curve really kind of begins in the 50s. You know, there's kind of this period where the way some researchers have explained it, there's a period of a few decades there where you're stressed out and busy and striving to become who you thought you should become and disappointed when you didn't get all the things you thought you should get. And then around the 50s, the happiness rates begin to climb again. And as I said, at 85, a lot of these folks are reporting happier levels of happiness that are higher than when they were 18, which is very interesting and certainly counterintuitive if you look at how Hollywood portrays aging, and certainly movies like Sex and the City would convince you that being 85 is pretty much the worst thing that could possibly happen to you, unless you're acting like Samantha Jones and pretending you're still 18.
So finally, it sounds like we can learn something from our elders after all.
That's exactly right. We can learn something from our elders, and I think it'd be a good thing if we had a movie once in a while that actually showed the kind of elders that we admire, and that is people who embrace the aging process as a natural part of life. And remember that there are so many gifts and virtues that come with having some years under your belt that we don't see a lot of in our movies, in our magazines. We know elders who fit this description of being more patient, wiser, more grateful, more able to accept their own limitations and those of others than they were maybe decades earlier, but we don't see them celebrated much in our pop culture, and maybe we should ask for more realistic portrayals because, you know, aging gracefully is possible, and it's not all about Botox and trying to be 18 again. In fact, if we look at the studies, trying to be 18 isn't as great a path to happiness, not as effective as being happy where you are, even if that's 85.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a TV program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read those columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of June. Robert Velarde is going to join us. He's a writer, an educator, a philosopher, father of four children in Colorado, and so that means he's probably familiar with the subject we're going to be discussing. Plus, he's written his latest book, The Wisdom of Pixar. If you've seen any of these films, I was in love with the very first one I saw. I can't remember which one it was. And they have never disappointed. Although you can't agree with everything in these films, they are compelling stories. They're very well told, amazingly animated. We'll talk about the spiritual and moral themes of Pixar films with Robert Velarde on the other side of the break. I invite your questions and your comments. I know that you've seen these films. I know you love them. We'll be talking about them, not all of them, but we'll get in as many as we can in the next 45 minutes of Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MY-IE is our call-in number, 877-623-6943. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us, @issuesetc. When we come back, they're delightful, they are entertaining, they're aimed at our kids, but very often it is the general audience, people of all ages, who grow to love these Pixar films. In addition to being amazing animation and good stories, what are the virtues and the spiritual moral themes that we find in these Pixar films? The last one I saw was, if I'm not mistaken, Up. I didn't have real high expectations, although I'd heard a lot of people say, this is really an amazing film. An unlikely tale, of course. All of them are. You can do anything in animation, but a story that in the end, I think, had more to say about loyalty and love and devotion and the virtues of age and youth at the same time. We'll be talking about that and other Pixar films with Robert Velarde right after this.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
What can a view from space teach us about God's care for His creation, His wisdom in ordering the universe, and the goodness of divine providence? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled The Work of His Hands. It's written by astronaut Jeffrey Williams. Colonel Williams spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station. You can purchase The Work of His Hands by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Work of His Hands.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.